I'm going to look at a passage tonight, kind of a little bit connected. We had gone through a section of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 dealing with marriage. I wanted to deal with chapter 6, the first few verses. So you might turn there, Ephesians chapter 6. Thinking a little bit about just how to introduce this. Really, the message is primarily to children or young people. I suppose we're all children, have to be children, all have parents, whether they're living or passed away. But I have learned this in ministry through the years, that a lot of the issues of our childhood kind of follow us into adulthood. If you follow what I mean by that. A lot of times we learn some things when we're children, but sometimes we don't always learn those things. And to the degree or to the extent that we learn them, they help us in life. If we don't learn them, then they sort of cause us to struggle in life. So tonight I want to look at God's directives to children. Let me read the passage, Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Short passage, really, but a lot in this passage. And really what the Lord does here is give two directives. First of all, he gives the directive that children are to obey their parents. He just kind of states it. Now, that word child is a word that speaks of youth, and tonight really maybe the message is more directly given to youth. But I think the principle of obedience is one that expands this simple, the time of youth, because really if you don't learn it while you're a child, you'll always have opportunities as an adult. All of us will have some authority over us at all the times in our life. If no one else is over you, God's over you. All of us have authorities in our lives, whether they're governmental, teachers, parents, pastoral responsibility, authority. There's all kinds of authorities in our lives, and it's amazing how many times that we struggle even into our adult years with things that really ought to have been settled when we were children. But here God is giving a directive for children to obey their parents and Lord. First of all, the meaning of obedience. What exactly does he mean by that particular word? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, one writer defines it this way. He says it means to literally hear under. To hear under. That is, to listen with attentiveness and to respond positively to what is heard. Children are to put themselves under the words and the authority of their parents. Interesting, to hear under. That is, you make a choice with your will to place yourself under the words of authority of your parents. That's not always easy to do, you know, because we have this old Adamic nature and we kind of like to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and we don't want to do things sometimes when we should want to do them. And so we struggle with that. But the idea is this is a choice that you have to make. I mean, nobody can force you. I mean, maybe when you're little, your parents can sort of force you, and you may not die, but you may feel like you're going to die sometime if you don't obey. But as you get a little bit older, you learn that, hey, you know, there's not as much bite as there is in the bark. And you struggle sometimes, even as a young person, whether or not you're really going to obey. But this is something that God is commanding, that this idea to hear under, you're placing yourself under the authority of your parents, and you're listening so that you can obey. Interesting, a parallel passage says it this way, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents, notice, in all things, not in just the things you want to do, but in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. This is really dealing with a heart attitude, if you would, probably as much as anything. When it comes to the matter of obedience, it's a matter of the heart. And you've got some decisions to reach about how you're going to respond to those that are in authority over you. And you can comply at times and sort of go along with what things, but really what he's talking about here is a heart obedience. And really it says in all things. In other words, is whatever your parents tell you to do, unless, there's only one exception I would say, according to the Scriptures, unless your parents tell you to directly violate what the Word of God teaches. Not what you want the Word of God to teach, but what the Word of God teaches. I suppose there are some bad parents in this world, and there may be some parent that would tell their child to steal or to murder or to do something of that nature. Then the child would have a responsibility then not to obey the parents, but instead to obey the Lord. And I think a key passage for that is Acts chapter 4, verses 19 to 20. Here they were commanded, verse 18, they called them and they commanded them not to speak nor to teach in the name of Jesus, what the Lord had told them to teach. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So in that case, they were being commanded to do something that was directly against the will of God, what God had clearly stated, and they had a responsibility to then violate that authority and to obey their greater authority, the authority of God. Now, honestly, folks, that doesn't happen much. It's very rare that you're going to have a parental authority to ask you to do something that would directly violate the will of God. When it does happen, you have precedence here by Scripture to obey God rather than man. But most of the time, that's not our struggle. Most of the time, we just have a hard time really listening and really having an obedient heart toward the parents. So the idea of this is that you're hearing under, you're placing yourself under the authority of your parents, and you have a heart that seeks to obey what they're directing you to do. Now, secondly, let's talk about the sphere of obedience. Not only the meaning of obedience, but the sphere of obedience. And this is interesting. Notice it says, children, obey your parents. And that next little phrase is important. In the Lord. In the Lord. And the idea behind this is it's not just a human thing. This is a divine thing. It's not just an earthly responsibility. It is something that is sacred, that is given to us by God, that depending on how we respond to parents, how young people respond to parents, it not only has to do with those parents, but it has to do with their relationship with the Lord. Wood says it this way. He says, all this is in the Lord, as are the other relationships. In fact, you could go back. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 talks about submitting yourselves one to another in the Lord. Wives into the Lord. And then a little bit later, it talks about servants. So all these have to do with in the Lord. He goes on to say, children are to realize that both they and their parents are under the authority of the living Christ. So it's broader than just what your parents are saying. Ultimately, to disobey your parents is to disobey the Lord, because the Lord is the one who's given them the authority and has placed them over you. Hodge says it this way. It should be religious, arising out of the conviction that such obedience is the will of the Lord. This makes it a higher service if rendered from fear or from mere natural affection. Whether any time we're dealing with authority in our lives, it's much more than just a human issue or an earthly issue. It is a divine issue. And we have to remember that, because sometimes we struggle with earthly authorities. You know, earthly authorities are not perfect. I've never met any perfect parents. And there can be times that young people will struggle because they see the inconsistency in the lives of the parents. And it's so easy to justify or rationalize, well, you know, they don't do everything they ought to do, so why should I have to do this? But it's bigger than just the parents. It ultimately has to do with being under the authority of the Lord. You might remember the story from the Old Testament when Saul had been told, given directives by the Lord to go and to destroy the Amalekites. And rather than destroying the Amalekites, he took Agag, the king, captive and took some of the animals. And he was involved in sacrificing when Samuel came. And he sort of began to excuse and rationalize his disobedience, because after all, they were worshiping the Lord. And if in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, it says this, and Samuel said, hath or has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He's asking the question to cause Saul to think. Do you think God really delights in your sacrifices and your offerings more than what He delights in you obeying the voice of the Lord? He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. In other words, what God is wanting from His people, much more than this sort of feigned exterior worship, if we're not really being obedient to God, we're not really worshiping anyway. And so He's saying, look, obedience is a very, very important thing. Now, one of the reasons I say this is because, look, the home and your parental responsibility as parents and your responsibility as children as you come up in that home, this kind of lays a foundation for life. And if you don't get down this principle of obedience while you're at home, in your home, you're very likely going to struggle as you get out in the life. You're always going to have a boss. somewhere along the line that's just going to try you and test you and press you. And I assure you, if you've never learned to be obedient, you will probably have a bunch of bosses like that. I remember a number of years ago, there was a grown man, well up in his years, his kids were grown, and he just kind of went from job to job to job to job. He never could seem to keep a job. And the reason why is because he couldn't get along with the authorities in his life. His boss would tell him to do something. If he didn't want to do it, he didn't do it. And he kept getting fired from jobs. And it was like he couldn't get it. He just didn't see it. He didn't understand why he kept losing his job. But it really, deep down inside, was the fact that he had a problem with authority in his life. And what was happening, he was constantly bumping up against that authority. But the ultimate authority that he was bumping up against was not his human authority. It was God. His divine authority. Because God is the one who structures authority in our lives. And so the sphere of obedience for young people is broader than just your parents. It ultimately has to do with your relationship with the Lord. That's true for adults here tonight too, by the way. You find yourself chafing. If you find yourself struggling, if you find yourself as a person that's hard to receive instruction and directives in your life, it's very likely that you have an authority issue with the Lord ultimately because you've never really placed yourself under the authorities that He's put in your life. So the sphere of obedience is much broader than just the human. It has to do with the Lord. Then thirdly, the reason for obedience. And that's found in the end of the verse 1. He says just simply, for this is right. For this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And the sense here is that right refers to that which is correct or just or righteous. The righteousness here is not based on psychological case studies or other human evidence or theory, but on God's standard of right. God's declaration makes it right. You may have heard this saying sometime. God says it. I believe it. That settles it. Now, you could really take the middle one out because it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Okay? So you could just say, God says it, that settles it. Now, let me ask you the question tonight, whether that's your heart. You see, our burden tonight as the people of God ought to be that we ought to be searching the Word of God. We ought to be going to the Bible for what God says. And once we understand what God says, that settles it. No argument. It's not a matter of wanting to do it, not wanting to do it, liking to do it, not liking to do it. If God says it, that settles it. In other words, it is right simply because God says it. Now, here's my contention, okay? If you have a heart that is a heart that is given toward obedience, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be searching out the Word of God, looking for what God says about specific areas in your life. So that you know what the will of God is, and so that you can do it. It's amazing how many times when you begin to deal with people, they do the opposite. You know what I mean by that? In other words, well, I don't know of a verse that says I can't do that. Show me in black and white what the Bible has to say that, you know, I mean, that's against the will of the Lord. Instead of searching the Scriptures to find either precepts, commands, or principles that apply to our situation to determine not whether or not we feel like doing it or we like to do it or we want to do it or all those kind of things that we usually are governing our decisions. But what does the will of God say? What does the Word of God say? And the Word of God literally should become a filter for our lives so that every decision that we make and that every attitude that we have and everything that we have to work through in our lives, it's all filtered through the Scriptures. We want to filter out anything that would displease the Lord, and we want to embrace everything that would please the Lord. Now, I ask you tonight the question of this. Do you have an obedient heart? Obedience is just not for young people. It's amazing, even as adults, how many times when it really comes down to it, the way we make our decisions is based upon what we like or what we don't like, what we want to do or what we don't want to do. And honestly, folks, there are times we never even factor in that God Himself might have a will about this matter. And yet, an obedient heart is constantly searching the Scriptures, trying to determine what God says, and you're trying to line yourself up to say, look, if the Lord says it, I want to do it. If the Lord says don't do it, I don't want to do it. Because I want to have an obedient heart. And that's something in our, if you still have children in your home, you got to work at it, you got to work at it, you got to work at it, because this doesn't come naturally for any one of us. I don't care what your age is tonight, it doesn't come easy for us. But this whole area of obedience is critical. It is significant in the life of a young person, because if you don't get this principle of obedience down, my friend, you're going to struggle throughout your life. Okay? So that's number one directive, is children are to obey their parents. Number two directive is this, children are to honor their parents. They are to honor their parents. Notice verse 2, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Once again, the meaning of honor. What does he mean by honor here? A little Greek word, tamao. The sense is, in fact, Lehman Strauss says it this way, to honor means to esteem with deference or respect. I've learned this through the years in terms of rearing children. Probably the two most important areas are obedience and respect. Obedience and respect. In fact, most of the time, if you will just deal with obedience and respect, you'll be amazed how many times that will take care of about 90-95% of what you've got to deal with. The other area I'd say it's important to deal with is the area of ethical areas like lying and stealing. That would be right there, number three, if you would. But obedience and respect. And sometimes respect is kind of a subtle sort of thing. Or I should say disrespect can kind of be a subtle sort of thing. Because it's really an attitude of the heart, once again. You know, even as adults, there are times where we will obey, but we don't honestly respect those that are placed in authority over us. And I know sometimes their lives aren't everything they ought to be. And it's very easy for us to justify an unrighteous attitude and a spirit of disrespect on the basis of someone else's life not being what it ought to be. But this is not saying if you have a good authority, you're to honor and respect them, or a good parent, you're to honor and respect them. It just simply says, honor thy father and thy mother. Linsky says this, honor is the form love assumes toward those who are placed above us by God. It's a pretty good statement. Honor is the form love assumes toward those who are placed above us by God. It's an attitude. And young people, can I encourage you tonight with your parents? I know that, hey, I'm not a perfect parent. I know that things aren't always the way they ought to be. But esteem your parents, because that's what God commands you to do. So the meaning of honor. Secondly, the importance of honor. He says this, which is the first commandment with promise. It's interesting because if you go back to the Decalogue and you begin to search about what the Bible says there in the Ten Commandments, it's really the only command with promise. So you have to decide, what does he mean by this word first? And I think Hodge captures the options that are available for us. He says this, this idea of honor may mean it is the first commandment in the Decalogue which has a specific promise attached. In other words, it's first in order, we might think of it. That may be what he's talking about. Or it may mean that it's the first commandment of the second table of the law and has a promise in that. You know that the first half of the Ten Commandments dealt with your relationship with the Lord. The second half of your Ten Commandments dealt with your relationship with man. And perhaps there are some see it as being the first of those, number six, if you would, of that second table. But more likely, it is the idea that it may be taken in the sense of chief, or the idea that it's first in importance. This is a very foundational principle in our lives, that this whole idea of respect toward authority, particularly parental authority, is laying a foundation in our lives that will allow us to ultimately receive the full blessings of God. That's amazing how many people go through life and they really disrespect other people. Sometimes even people that are their boss, parents, governmental authorities, even pastoral authorities. You'd be surprised at some of the kind, loving things that are said to pastors sometimes when the people are upset about things. But ultimately, God is the one who's placed this authority over us, and He is wanting us to have a submissive, obedient, respectful spirit in our lives toward those that are in authority over us. And we teach it in the home. It's kind of like building a house. Maybe you've built a house or you've known someone that built a house. But when you go to build a house, one of the most important things in building the house is the foundation. If you don't get a good foundation, you may have a beautiful house, but you're going to have problems because it's going to settle and there's going to be issues and there are going to be cracks and there are going to be problems and things are going to just get out of sort because you haven't laid the right foundation. Well, this whole idea of respect. You know, as kids are growing up and maybe you've got some teens, there have been a few times I've told my boys as they get a little older, you know, when boys are younger, they don't mind mom being in charge. But as boys get a little bit older, they don't really like mom being in charge. Have you noticed that, ladies? Just something about mom, you know, woman kind of in charge. And as they get a little older, they begin to kind of test their wings a little bit and they get a little feisty. And I can remember one time, I won't tell you who, I'll be in real trouble if I did. I remember one time, one of my boys, I kind of got in his face and I said, look, I just want you to know something. One of these days, you're going to get married and you're going to have a wife. Now, when you have a wife, look, you can treat her any way you want to, but I want you to know this. Your mom is my wife and you're not treating her the way you're treating her. You need to demonstrate some respect to her. You don't just talk to her any way you want to talk to her. You know, on more than one occasion, I've kind of gotten their face a little bit about this thing, and I'm serious about it. It's just not going to happen. You know? And I think that's important for us, particularly as men, as our children get a little bit older and they go through those years where they start to test their wings a little bit, that as men, that we step up and we demand. And I don't think we ought to be embarrassed about this. We demand that there's a sense of respect in which we are treated as parents, but particularly our wives are treated with dignity and respect because that's what the Scripture demands, requires. But he's talking here about this sense of esteeming and the importance or the significance to it. Last of all, he talks about the reward for honor. It says in verse 3, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. A couple things here. Philip says this. He says, a child who grows up to love, honor, and obey his mother and father lays the foundation for a happier, more stable, and more successful life than does a child who is rude, disrespectful, self-willed, and rebellious. That's no secret tonight. If you look in our culture, we have a culture of disobedient, rebellious people. Defiant. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. And you know what? They're not happy. They're struggling. And then they go into relationships. And, you know, isn't it funny how you have a young girl grows up at home. She can't get along with dad. And she's always battling with dad, butting heads with dad. And who in the world does she marry? Someone just like dad. Amazing how that happens. In fact, when I counsel couples, quite often, one of the things I ask them, I have kind of a questionnaire I ask them to fill out, and one of the things I ask them, is there any issues between them and their parents? You know, if you begin to talk to them, sometimes what happens, they're head-butting with their parents, and they can't wait to get out of their homes, and they think they're going to get married and live happily ever after. And folks, it is not going to happen. And so if you can't get along at home and you can't submit yourself to your parents and you can't be respectful of your parents, don't think you're going to go in this wonderful marriage where there's going to be bliss and happiness forevermore. You probably won't be married but a couple of years and you'll be looking at a divorce because you've never learned the foundational principles to being successful in life. It all begins in the home, and obedience and respect are very key in all of this. Edie says this. Filial obedience under God's blessing prolongs life, for it implies the possession of the principles of restraint, sobriety, and industry which secure a lengthened existence. It is said in Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. These are core principles that God is trying to lay in the lives of young people that are preparing them for life, and ultimately, if they learn them, for God's blessing. Warren Wiersbe says this, this does not mean that everyone who died young dishonored their parents or his parents. He was stating a principle, when children obey their parents in the Lord, they will escape a great deal of sin and danger and thus avoid the things that could threaten or shorten their lives. Amazing how many young people can't get along with mom or dad, can't wait to get out underneath from mom and dad's authority, can't wait till they turn 18, so they're out of here. And boy, they go into a self-destructive pattern where, I mean, it is one job after another job and one problem after another problem and one relationship after another relationship. And you know what? All of that needs to come back home and get straightened out, or they're probably going to live a whole life like that. Wiersbe goes on to say this, but life is not measured only by quantity of time. It is also measured by quality of experience. God enriches the life of the obedient child no matter how long he may live on the earth. Sin always robs us and obedience always enriches us. If you really want a happy life, you want your life to be well with you, and you want the Lord's blessing upon you, then you need to learn to be obedient and you need to learn to be respectful. Lastly, Linsky says this. He says, this denotes permanent well-being in the full Christian sense, to be under God's constant blessing. Isn't that what we want? Don't you want God's blessing tonight? I mean, don't you want for your children and for your grandchildren to have the blessing of God upon their lives? That means, parents, if you still have children in your home, you need to be working at this matter of obedience and respect. Don't let them come out of your home and not know how to obey, and let them be disrespectful. They will struggle. I mean, there are a bunch of 20s and 30s today, and maybe even beyond that, who are just struggling in life because they never learned to obey, and they never learned to be respectful. And it's our responsibility as parents, while they're there, to teach them or to do everything we can to teach them. And they also have a responsibility to learn those things. And according to this passage, that if you learn those things, it will be well with thee, and that you will live long upon the earth. You will have not only length of life, but also quality of life. Now, as I kind of bring this to a close, let me ask you to ask yourself some questions tonight. Where are you? Mom, Dad, how important is this to you? How hard are you working at teaching your children to be obedient? Not rationalizing or excusing away or overlooking things. Now, he's not talking about being harsh or unkind, and I know that because look at verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The way you discipline and deal with your children can cause them to react to you or can cause them to be drawn to you. So he's not talking about being harsh or overbearing, or are militaristic and unkind in the sense of just overbearing with your kids. But he is talking about the importance of being obedient. And he is talking about the importance of being respectful. Could I be speaking tonight to some adults? Maybe well up in years. Honestly, you've struggled all of your life with obedience. You've struggled all of your life with being respectful. There are some ladies here tonight, honestly, you constantly demonstrate disrespect to your husband, and you can't understand why he's not very loving to you, and it's because you've never really learned to respect him. Maybe there's some husbands tonight that you're batting your head against the wall at work because you just keep bumping into all these jerks that they call boss that you can't seem to get along with. And what God is doing is he is arranging the circumstances of your life to put you into a situation, because what he really wants you to do is learn to be obedient and learn to be respectful. This whole thing is so foundational to our lives being successful and ultimately being blessed by God that if we don't learn it, we're just going to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle until we do learn it. So my challenge to you tonight is ask yourself, okay, where am I in the obedience category? Hey, we all struggle there some, but you can learn to yield your will. You can learn to be obedient ultimately to the Lord. That's really what it's all about anyway. And you can learn to have a respectful spirit to those in authority over you and those that are around you, so that ultimately you can be blessed by God. And that's really what we all want. We want to be blessed by God. God's directives to children. Let's pray together. Father, all of us need to be reminded from time to time about these foundational principles. Lord, you know our hearts, that we do struggle with being obedient and we do struggle with being respectful. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you might just help us, adults, young people, children alike, may we examine our hearts before you. And if tonight, as the Spirit of the Lord would speak, if there's something in our lives where we've had an attitude, where we've lied, where we've just violated what your Scriptures teach, I pray that there would be a tender spirit. responsive spirit. May there be some young people tonight that would go home and tell mom and dad, you know, mom and dad, I've not been obedient. I've not been very obedient. I've not been very respectful. And I realize tonight it's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's ultimately about the Lord. And may there be people tonight, young people tonight, that will make some key decisions in their lives that will save them the heartache and the heartbreak of what many parents and adults have gone through and yet still even struggle today because they themselves have not learned that. So I pray, Lord, that you bless this time. May we truly allow the Spirit of God to examine our hearts. And may these foundational truths be driven home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.